Greetings, saints and fellow bondslaves of Jesus Christ. I'm Pastor Jonathan Edwards. Many years ago, a coworker gave me the nickname Jed, and it just stuck. These days, I have the privilege of studying the bread of life, which is God's word, and sharing it with his people. My goal in this podcast is to help you know the truth and practice it in your life so that we can grow together in holiness to the praise and glory of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Let me give you an introduction to today's topic by reading from the book Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life by Pastor Donald S. Whitney. Christians in a gluttonous, denialless, self-indulgent society may struggle to accept and to begin the practice of fasting. Few disciplines go so radically against the flesh and the mainstream of culture as this one, but we cannot overlook its biblical significance. Of course, some people, for medical reasons, cannot fast, but most of us dare not overlook fasting's benefit in the disciplined pursuit of a Christ-like life. To be honest, that is as much of a rebuke as you could possibly get for the overindulgent, gluttonous, lazy, and spiritually undisciplined society that we live in. And when I mean society, I'm not talking about the secular society at large. I mean the Christian society. I think as Christians, we are quick to indulge in behaviors that probably lead to excess in a lot of different ways, and we're not very good at practicing self-control and discipline to say no to our fleshly desires and our fleshly pursuits. And the practice of fasting is really something that can help produce not only humility in your life, but discipline and self-control. So today we want to talk about this particular topic, and I'm going to pose the topic as a question. If I'm a Christian, should I be fasting? If I'm a Christian, should I be fasting? Well, I'm gonna go through the definition of fasting and provide some biblical examples and testimonies of where we see fasting at work in the scriptures. And then we'll circle back around at a later point in this podcast and actually answer that question. So first of all, let's define what is fasting, okay? What is fasting? Fasting is, strictly speaking, a voluntary abstinence from something, whether that be food or physical intimacy or some other pursuit. And it is done for the specific purpose of focusing on a spiritual matter. Most of the fasts in Scripture involve fasting from food, but not from drink. There are a few occasional fasts in Scripture where food and drink are both abstained from. And there are a couple of supernatural fasts that occur in Scripture, namely the period of time where Moses was on Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights, and the text records that he had neither food nor drink. And another situation concerning the prophet Elijah, where after his victory on Mount Carmel against the prophets of Baal, he was fed food and water by an angel of the Lord, and on the strength of that food and water, got up and went 40 days and 40 nights, again, without food or drink. But those are supernatural fasts. Those two individuals did something that was aided supernaturally by God, and that is not something that I'm recommending or that Scripture expects us to imitate, okay? But what we can imitate, what we should be considering, is fasting from food and possibly fasting from drink for a short period of time for a specific reason. And that reason is a spiritual reason, okay? I'm well aware, and perhaps you are too, that in America, there is a very well-known fitness practice known as intermittent fasting, and this is a fasting done for health purposes. So it involves the restriction of food for a certain number of hours a day. So a lot of intermittent fasts are like 16 hours fasted and 8 hours of eating. Sometimes it's a 24-hour fast, and those are done for the purposes of health. What we are talking about here is not a fast done for the purpose of any health benefit, although, you know, there may be an ancillary health benefit for it. But when we look at the scriptures and we look at the command to fast for believers or the implication that believers should be fasting. All right, it's an implied command. When we look at that, it's not done for physical reasons. It is done for spiritual reasons. So the purpose of fasting in any time that you choose to do it, all right, any amount of time that you choose to do it, the purpose is always a spiritual purpose. Now, I think there's a question that comes up in the minds of believers, and that is, you know, am I only allowed to fast from food? Or if we state it another way, are there other things that we can fast from? And I would say the answer to that is yes, okay? Food is obviously the main element that we fast from, because when we begin to go hungry, that takes our focus away from maybe our task at hand. It should cause us to place our dependence upon God more. I think actually if you practice fasting regularly, you'll find that going for periods of 12 to 24 hours without food actually sharpens your focus and makes you more aware of your surroundings. And that actually enables you to have more concentration in prayer, more concentration in scripture reading, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, let's look at some other things besides food that you could fast from. Specifically in the scriptures, we see that there are fasts from physical intimacy. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 5 and 6, that husbands and wives have the ability to fast from physical intimacy for a short period of time for the purpose of devoting themselves to prayer. Notice, again, Paul connects the physical fast with a spiritual element, namely prayer. He doesn't say what the object of prayer is, but he says it is prayer. You are fasting from intimacy for the purpose of prayer. If we were going to extrapolate further and we are going to go beyond specific items or specific pursuits that the scriptures mention, we could say that it'd be possible to fast from technology. It would be possible to fast from hobbies and interests. It would be possible to fast from social media. It would be possible to fast from a number of different things that you might enjoy doing in your life. And the purpose of the fast is always, okay, for some kind of spiritual benefit. Some of you in the audience may be aware of a gentleman named Ben Shapiro, who is a well-known political commentator and Orthodox Jew. It is my understanding that he fasts every Sabbath day from technology and social media. So from sundown on Friday to sundown on Saturday night, he doesn't use any technology or social media or look at the news or anything. He has that weekly fast from technology and from media, and that is done for a spiritual purpose, according to what he believes the Old Testament teaches, okay? Now, I don't agree with his particular religious bent. I think that that Mr. Shapiro needs to repent from his sins and acknowledge Christ as Lord and Savior, and that Christ is the Messiah. But that's a discussion for another day. The point is, he's a good example of somebody who fasts for a spiritual purpose, okay? And so if you are going to fast, it should be something that is important to you. It should be something that you're used to having or something that is very significant in your life. I have heard of Christians who, you know, there are Christians who practice Lent. I don't practice Lent. Maybe that would be a good discussion podcast topic for another day. Why I don't believe that the Bible teaches that we should practice Lent. But I've heard of Christians who practice Lent who are supposed to give up something for Lent. And the things that they often give up are things like, you know, I'm giving up dessert for a month. I appreciate their sincerity in that, and I don't want to say that they're insincere, but I don't think that's the kind of sacrifice that you're really supposed to make during the Lenten season. I mean, if we're really gonna follow Lent, I think the sacrifice needs to be bigger, and that's what I'm saying about fasting too. If you're gonna fast from something, you need to fast from something that is very significant to you in your life, something that is very measurable, something that you devote time to, and or something that is possibly a distraction or maybe even idolatrous, like social media and technology can be. Fast from one of those things. Fast from watching sports. Fast from playing sports or playing an instrument or whatever it might be, so that you can devote the time that you would have spent on that other activity to a spiritual matter. and specific spiritual matters, okay? And we're going to talk about what those are here in just a moment. But first, I want to talk about how long should you fast? Okay, let's say you agree to fast. You're like, okay, I should fast, all right? How long should I fast? Well, I think that fasting in the scriptures is something that is typically recorded over a 1 to 3 day period. Okay, so it's 1 to 3 days. A lot of times you'll find that fasts are 3 days or 1 day in scripture. And the day is the waking day. So it would be the hours that you're awake, you're at work. A lot of times that means you would abstain from breakfast and lunch and possibly an afternoon meal and maybe eat an evening meal at sundown. That I think would be totally appropriate. So if, for example, you eat a meal at Tuesday, let's say you eat a meal at Tuesday at 8 o'clock p.m., then the next day you would fast until 8 p.m. that next day. And that would be totally appropriate. Okay, that would be a fast. Sometimes you might want to extend that into 2 days, maybe even 3 days, all right? There's really no set time for a fast in the scriptures, especially for believers. There's no set time, so you should do whatever you determine in your heart to be appropriate and right before the Lord. It, you know, here's another option. You could possibly fast from lunchtime every day to devote that time to prayer. So you could eat breakfast and then fast for lunch 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, and devote that time to prayer or devote that time to scripture reading and then have dinner that day. I think that'd be a very appropriate fast. And honestly, that'd be a very manageable fast for a lot of people. There's a lot of examples of fasting in the Old Testament, and it is assumed in the New Testament by Jesus that his followers will fast, okay? It is assumed by Jesus that his followers will fast. Let's take a look at the text of Scripture. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6, okay? Matthew chapter 6, and I want to read these verses to you. They come from the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus is comparing the fasting that the Pharisees do versus the fasting that he expects his followers to do. All right, so listen to what he says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 16. Now, whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men when they are fasting. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Notice that Jesus assumes his disciples will fast, but you, when you fast. Now, this isn't, in the Greek language, isn't an explicit command to fast. It doesn't say fast now, all right? It's a present active participle, okay? And what that means is Jesus is saying, as you go about the process of fasting, or whenever you choose to fast, as if the worshiper, the disciple, is going to make a specific decision to fast. And then the command is to anoint your head and to wash your face so that your fasting will not be noticed by men. Again, Jesus says, anoint your head and wash your face, all right? These are the commands. So let your appearance be normal. That's basically what it means. If you're going to do a fast, get up in the morning, take your shower, get ready for work, get ready to take care of the kids, whatever it is that you normally do on a daily routine, do that and then go about your day and you don't have to expose it to everybody that you are fasting. All right. He's contrasting how he expects his followers to fast with how the religious leaders who were false teachers of his day with how they fasted, all right? So you have to fast this way and they are going to fast that way. I think that when you consider the fact that Jesus expected his disciples to fast, that is enough in my mind to make this a command. And it's a command that I would say many, many Christians break. Many, many Christians don't practice fasting or very rarely practice the discipline of fasting, okay? I think that this spiritual discipline is vastly overlooked. It's overlooked, I mean, to be frank, in my own life. I have done it before. I probably don't plan to do it as regularly as I should. But there's a lot of benefits to fasting, okay? There's a lot of benefits to fasting. So we see in Scripture that it's not commanded how often to fast, but it is implied that the believers will fast, okay? And what are you going to do during the fast? All right, let's talk about that, and then we'll talk about the benefits of fasting. What are you going to do during the fast? Well, since the whole point of the fast is to give up something in order to focus on a spiritual matter, you're going to use the time that you would be doing whatever that object is or whatever that activity is, you're going to be using that time instead to focus on some spiritual truths and spiritual disciplines. So let's say it's eating. You're going to give up the time that you would spend in food preparation and in eating for the express purpose of devoting yourself to prayer, of spending time reading and meditating on the Word of God. Perhaps there is some other form of or some other spiritual discipline that you want to work on. Maybe you want to work on meditation. Maybe you want to work on scripture memorization. Maybe you want to work on singing songs of praise or even writing some poetry or journaling. You don't want to just fill up your time with any random thing when you're fasting. You want to fill up your time with those things that are going to be of particular spiritual benefit to you, okay? Now, what are we possibly hoping to accomplish with this fast, okay? Besides growing in a general Christ-likeness, all right? There can be some very specific reasons why you might want to fast that are spiritual in nature. One such reason might be repentance from sin. Now, this follows the example of Samuel and the nation of Israel in 1 Samuel chapter 7, when they confessed their sin before God and fasted as a nation. Daniel fasted and prayed in Daniel chapter 9 and confessed the sin of the nation. King David fasted and prayed to confess his own personal sin. So you may have sinned in a deep and grievous way, and fasting is a way that you can spend extra time repenting from sin. And I mean that not because you have to repent extra when you sin in a grievous way, but sometimes fasting helps bring clarity to all the ways that you need to repent and restore broken relationships. It also is a sign of sincere and genuine brokenness. So repenting from sin could be one of the spiritual focuses of fasting. Another would be to seek the Lord's will on an important decision. Maybe there is a direction that you believe God wants you to take in your life. Maybe you're faced with a choice that was brought to you by circumstances outside of your control, and you're really seeking the Lord's will on that decision. Fasting and praying is a great way to seek the Lord's will on an important decision. As I already mentioned, a husband and wife could choose to fast from intimacy for a short time to devote themselves to prayer. Again, they would be focusing on some kind of important and essential spiritual matter that is affecting both of them. There are other reasons to fast, okay? And those are just a few of them. You could fast just for the mere purpose of growing in humility and dependence upon God. I think that's an overlooked reason for fasting, all right? I want to grow in humility. I want to learn to depend upon God more. I'm going to fast now, or I'm going to make fasting a priority, make it a regular part of the spiritual disciplines that I do so that I can grow in Christ-likeness. And I think that these are very, very important things to consider when doing a fast. I don't think that you should fast just for the sake of fasting. You should know exactly what you want to do and accomplish from a spiritual perspective when you begin a fast. So I'm not in favor of aimless fasting. I'm not in favor of picking a certain day of the week and making everybody in your church or your congregation fast on that particular day. I don't think that fasting should be a legalistic matter. It should be a personal matter between you and God, and you should do it. And the frequency is determined by you and your relationship with the Lord and what you're hoping to accomplish in your own spiritual walk. Now, that being said, saying already that it is it is not commanded how often to fast, I think that Christians in America specifically need to fast more than we presently do, because I would bet that most Christians don't fast at all from anything. So we need to go from not fasting at all to fasting at some frequency, all right? But I don't think that is right to say you must fast once a week, or John Wesley was famous for saying you should fast on Wednesdays and Fridays. And I think the Didache also taught that you should fast on Wednesdays and Fridays. We don't need to go to that level, okay? But you should consider fasting for the purpose of spiritual growth. Now, so far we've talked about individual fasting. I think it's important for us to consider whether there's ever a time for corporate fasting, okay? And by corporate fasting, I mean, should your local church practice corporate fasting? Should you all fast together for a specific purpose or to a specific end? I think that the answer to that is yes. And again, I don't think this should be legalistic in any way, shape, or form. It shouldn't be mandated by the elders, but it could be called upon. You could call upon the church to fast as the church faces important decisions. If we look in the New Testament, specifically in Acts chapter 13 and Acts chapter 14, we see that the church in Antioch in Acts chapter 13 was fasting and praying while they sought the Holy Spirit's will on how to send Paul and Barnabas out as missionaries. And then when you go over to Acts chapter 14, you see Paul and Barnabas and the other men who are with Paul in the missionary journey going to different churches and fasting and praying with the members of those churches as they considered the appointment of elders in those local churches. So these are spiritually significant events that affect everybody in the church, and so it seemed appropriate for the entire church to participate in fasting to seek the Lord's will concerning these specific matters. Now, if we look back into the Old Testament, we see that there are corporate fasts for the repentance of sin. Ezra and the Israelites in Ezra chapter 10 fasted as a group. As a group, they fasted because of the sins of some of their brethren who took wives from the Midianites, okay? And the unfaithfulness of these Israelites had brought shame and consequence to the nation. And when it was discovered, Israel and the godly people in the nation of Israel all practiced a corporate fast. And I already mentioned Samuel and the nation of Israel practiced a corporate fast in 1 Samuel chapter 7 and acknowledged their sin and repented against their sin. There are some times in the Old Testament where the nation of Israel fasted in mourning. When a particular leader who was godly died, the nation often fasted in remembrance and mourning for that leader. All right, so we see that there are instances of individual fasting, instances of corporate fasting in the scripture, and I think it brings us to the point where we have to ask ourselves a personal question: how should I use fasting in my life? How should I use fasting in my life? Well, I think the first and foremost reason to use fasting in your own personal life is to help you refocus your attention on the Lord Jesus Christ. To fast from food, or social media, or technology, or a hobby, or something like that, is a very important part of being a Christian. It is an overlooked part of being a Christian. It can serve as a reset to help you get your mind right where it needs to be. During the fast, you can take time to examine, is Christ really the Lord of my life? Am I serving Him the way that I should be? Do I have any sin issues that I have need to deal with, or am I overlooking some kind of sin issue that God then reveals to me in this particular season of fasting? I think that fasting should be, for the believer, a regular pattern of personal worship. And I don't even know what regular looks like. It could be quarterly, could be monthly, it could be weekly in some cases. It could be like micro fasts, like I mentioned earlier, where you fast from lunch, you know, Monday through Friday, so that you can devote that time to focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ and something that He would have for you. I think that fasting must always have a purpose. So when you listen to this podcast and you're convicted about fasting, Don't just be like, well, tomorrow I'm going to not eat. You need to decide what is going to be the focus of your fast. Is it going to be confession of sin? Is it going to be growth in a particular spiritual area of character? Is it going to be growth in something like self-control, reliance upon God, humility? I mean, those could be specific focuses, or those could be the byproducts of fasting. I think that fasting is not something that we should just do, quote unquote, on a whim. We have to have a purpose to our fasting. We have to understand that God is not pleased or honored by just the mere abstinence from food. I mean, that was the problem with the hypocrites. That's what Jesus called out. He said, don't put on a gloomy face like the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men. You don't want to be noticed by men. You want to do your fasting in a way that is secret or secretive, mostly secretive. I think that, you know, if you're fasting and you get invited to lunch, it's not inappropriate to say, hey, I'm fasting today. I have some things that I'm trying to work on in my spiritual life. And so I'm not going to be able to attend lunch with you guys today, but keep me in mind the next day. You don't have to lie about why you can't come to lunch, but you don't necessarily need to broadcast loudly or boast about the fact that you are fasting. You can just say it matter-of-factly, hey, I'd love to join you today, but I'm doing a spiritual fast, and so I can't participate, but hey, keep me in mind for next time. Now, maybe you're a stay-at-home mom. Maybe you're not in an office environment. I think if you're a stay-at-home mom and you want to practice fasting, I think that that's something that you could do openly in front of your children and teach them the value of that spiritual discipline, just like you would teach them the value of any other spiritual discipline, such as reading the scriptures or praying or practicing self-control or whatever it might be. I think that it's okay to reveal to your children or your spouse that you are fasting. I don't think you're in violation of Jesus's command. The main thing is that the men who were putting on the gloomy face, the hypocrites, they were purposefully trying to get the glory of men. They were trying to be noticed by men for their actions. And that's what Jesus said was wrong. I think if you're a parent and you are fasting and you're trying to teach your children the importance of that spiritual discipline, it's not wrong to disclose it to them. Again, you don't need to broadcast it to everybody. You don't want to boast about it. You don't need to say, well, mommy's a more spiritual person now, or daddy's a more spiritual person now. You don't need to do any of those things. You just need to frankly say, Jesus expected that those who love him and believe in him and follow him will fast. And so today I'm fasting from food from the time I wake up until dinner time. And I'm going to use the time that I would normally eat to read scripture or pray, or maybe I'm going to put on some earbuds and listen to some spiritual music so that I can focus on my relationship with the Lord and maybe some spiritual things that I need to work on. So I think fasting doesn't have to look different if you're somebody who stays at home or if you're a parent trying to fast with little kids around. I think that it's just like any other discipline. You explain to your children why you're doing it, and then you do it. And that's good. I think a final thing that we have to wrestle with is fasting relevant in modern day times? Is fasting really relevant in 21st century America, in the 21st century world? I can tell you this, as I already brought up Ben Shapiro as an example, his Orthodox branch of Judaism believes fasting is still essential. The Islamic world, the Muslim community, believes that fasting is essential, and they have an entire month devoted to fasting. They might have 2 months devoted to fasting. I can't remember exactly, but they have a lot of they practice fasting a lot, okay? If those religions, which we believe to be false religions, think that fasting is important, then shouldn't Christians think that fasting is important? Especially when our Lord says, when you fast, and he expects us to be fasting at some point in our spiritual lives. I think fasting is relevant in modern times, of course. I mean, God has not changed, has he? Has God changed the spiritual disciplines that he requires of his people? No, of course not. If anything, as believers, we probably have a need to fast even more right now because we are so inundated and overwhelmed with blessings and abundances and indulgences that it's so easy to forget our dependence on God. And so fasting, purposefully fasting, will help us to remember our dependence upon God. Fasting will help us to honor God. It will help us to grow in spiritual character. And I think it is something that should absolutely be added to every Christian's spiritual life. Well, I hope that you found this to be provocative and thoughtful, and I hope that you have been convicted in your heart by the Holy Spirit to practice this discipline of fasting. The book that I read from at the beginning, Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life by Donald Whitney, is an incredibly practical book. Let's see, he's got 13 chapters in this book on different spiritual disciplines that Christians can do to grow in personal holiness. And I really believe that's one of our great challenges as American Christians, is that we have so much access to theology and so much access to intellectual learning, but our practical application of theology is really, really weak. So my prayer is that as Christians, we would be challenged by the Word of God to practice something that Jesus expected his disciples to do, and that as we practice this spiritual discipline, we would grow in our Christlikeness and our holiness, and that we would be a better example to the unbelieving world around us, ultimately so that we have examples or opportunities, rather, to share the gospel, and that we can be a good example to our fellow believers. I pray that you are blessed through this study today, and I pray that you will make a commitment to try fasting sometime in the near future for the glory of God and for your own spiritual benefit.